Our film critic John Powers has a review of the new movie, Iris.
Every era has a disease that seems to haunt the popular imagination, that becomes a symbol of its fears. Over the course of my life, I've seen this symbolic disease change from heart attacks to cancer to AIDS. The current obsession is Alzheimer's, which is feared for doing something worse than devouring the body. It destroys the very nature of oneself. That destruction lies at the heart of Iris, the story of what Alzheimer's does to a married couple. But not just any couple. Based on John Bailey's memoir, Elegy for Iris, it's the story of this Oxford Don's relationship with Iris Murdoch, the philosopher-turned-novelist who was sometimes called the most brilliant woman in England. The film jumps back and forth between two time periods. In the first, Bailey, played by Hugh Bonneville, is a stammery young lecturer who comes off as the world's oldest virgin. Iris, that's Kate Winslet, is everything he's not. Patently brilliant, socially bold, flagrantly sexual. She sleeps with both men and women. They become an odd couple, Iris goading Bailey into life. She takes him skinny dipping, while he provides a protective cushion that lets her do her work. The other storyline shows them many years later as an old married couple. Iris, now played by Judi Dench, is sinking into Alzheimer's. And the aging Bailey, that's Jim Broadbent, has started to become her caretaker. As their house becomes increasingly filthy and cluttered, Iris's own clear identity is gradually extinguished, a process she denies but cannot escape. Here, Iris sees a doctor who begins by asking her a question.
What is the name of the Prime Minister?
Oh, me? Are you asking me?
Yes, I am.
I don't know. Ask John. Surely it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, no, not really.
I've got a lot of ideas, but they won't come together. It happens all the time, forgetting names.
Well, take care.
Goodbye, Doctor. Thank you.
Go for it, John.
Iris.
I'm sure the country won't go to the dogs. Not knowing the Prime Minister's name's not a capital offence.
Absolutely.
I know the names that matter.
It'll be all right.
Well, it will be if you stop worrying. I've got a book to finish. Tony Blair. So there.
Oscar voters are suckers for movies about disease and death, and three of Iris's four leads were nominated earlier this week. And the fourth, Hugh Bonneville, would have been if the Academy, which always backs the famous, had ever heard of him. The overlooked Bonneville is a dead ringer for his older self, Jim Broadbent, the wonderful actor you may know from the work of Mike Lee, or as the MC in Moulin Rouge. Both of them movingly capture a particular aspect of Bailey, the warm, loving, self-effacing sad sack. Maybe he is these things, but it's annoying that the film pretends this is all he is. In fact, Bailey's one of England's leading literary critics, whose pieces constantly appear in the New York Review of Books. Reading Elegy for Iris, you know how smart he is. Not because he's boasting, but because he's the one writing the book. His intelligence shines through every page. The movie makes you think Iris likes him simply because he's a nice guy. For her part, Iris is idolized as a great intellectual and writer, one worthy of being played by Dame Judi Dench. Thanks to countless Miramax Oscar campaigns, Hollywood now worships Dench, which explains how she could get a Best Actress nomination for a role that asks her to spend most of the time walking around with a vacant look in her eyes. She's perfectly fine, but the best actress here is Winslet, who at age 26 is already a far more compelling screen presence than Dench. She gives young Iris the hard-edged lust for life the movie requires. She even rides a bicycle like Jean Moreau in Jules and Jim. Though I think Murdoch's novels are vastly overrated, she never met a symbol she didn't belabor, I always liked the idea of her. And the fearless Winslet gives us the fearless Iris we want to see. If only the movie were so bold. But it ducks the tricky questions of freedom and love, niceness and goodness that lie at the heart of Murdoch's fiction. Instead, director Richard Eyre clunkily cuts back and forth between the young and old couple, trying to manipulate us into crying for the sadness of it all. The only moment that really cuts to the core comes one night in bed when Iris's mind is gone. Finally overcome, Bailey begins shrieking at Iris that after all these years he finally possesses her, and now he doesn't want her. Although the film is mediocre, I have to admit it has a clumsy power, especially for those of us old enough to deal with parents with Alzheimer's or terrified we'll get it ourselves. In a sense, it's the flip side of A Beautiful Mind, which is all about John Nash battling and beating mental illness. Iris is being marketed as a love story and a celebration of life, but the story is actually far more pitiless. It's not a triumph of the human spirit, but a portrait of inevitable decay. An iris may bloom, but it will certainly and inexorably wither and fade.
John Powers is executive editor of LA Weekly. I'm Terry Gross. This is NPR, National Public Radio.